Mahamudra Intensive, Public Talk, Kempo Sultram Gyamso Rinpoche, Karma Cholin, July 4th, 1993, Talk 2, Tape 1 of 1, Dolby B.
Great Vajra Dara Tilo Naro Marpa Mila, Lord of Dharma Gampopa, Knower of the Three Times, Mapa, Holders of the Four Great and Eight Lesser Lineages, Drikung Taklung Salpa, These Three Glorious Drukpa, and so on, Masters of the Mahamudra, Incomparable Protectors of Beings, Atakpokag, you I supplicate. Gurus, I hold your lineage, grant your blessing so that I will follow your example. Revulsion is a foot of meditation, as is meditator who is not attached to food and wealth, who cuts the ties to this life. Grant your blessing so that I have no desire for honor, and devotion is a head of meditation, as is taught. The guru opens a gate to the treasury of oral instructions to this meditator, who rests and resupplicates him. Grant your blessing so that genuine devotion is born in me. Awareness is the body of meditation, as is taught. Whatever arises is fresh, the essence of realization to this meditator, who rests simply without altering. Grant your blessing so that my meditation is free from conception. The essence of thoughts is Dharmakaya, as is taught. Nothing whatever but everything rises from it to this meditator, who arises in unceasing play. Grant your blessing so that I realize the inseparability of samsara and nirvana through all my births. May I not be separated from the perfect guru, and so enjoy the splendor of dharma, perfecting the virtues of the paths and bhumis. May I speedily attain the state the earth is perfumed with scented water, and strewn with flowers, adorned with Mount Meru, the four continents, the sun and the moon, imagining mist as the Buddha realm, so that all beings may enjoy that pure realm. In accordance with the capabilities and aspirations of sentient beings, I ask you to turn the wheel of Dharma of the greater, lesser, conventional vehicles.
Dusam sanje dhan je je ngowo ildan jengur jam je chabda chume badne lama dambe sabje do dhama me bala sanje jen je sun je ho jeva ne chera dham je dhan rava me barje su zong bo kanje dhama venda me je sanje ne ra nam sam sanje ne ne ma do do sun jing me da ga lang dham Chinji Raja Durjin Chonan Dunga Nyoko Chonze Na Tso Tatev Chiko Te Tsonsuk Panjim Ke De La Kanji Mi Mi Yu Mi Yi Mi Ma Yi Yi Mi Le Yin Dong Tokpar Mene Ngi Chik Dong Da Su Su Rang Ke Re Xiao Chimi Yi Shi Vajir Nang De Mekwa Kuen La Chak Pa Dang Dang Rab Rab Nang Paran Chomze Tam Ji Nye Ma De La Sundara Jeva Sarve Nani Mungo Mezebe Kanda Rupinda Medaji Yanda Dona Tamjela Zubu Sanje Jiju Zubu Trapa Mebe Longa Simji Namda Daya Yuji Yishi Zanga Dela Laike Dan Lodan Nijinke Chom Da Dham Eke Na Rupa Kanje Toki Chasamba Tamje Keda Daki Chitungto
Ola So Tan Rupa Namgan Tata Nyambe Simji Tamje Sīgī nī jīn tāla mīnē bāyāntā par dzōpa sāngjē jī kumbhāra mbājī rūpura sā. Tēyī chē tō tāmbē chūla tūsāng gōmsum jī cunbhara jīwa nyāmbē sāmbā sāngjō chō tū tōk jī bāngāntā tāngdē sāmbhara shū.
Rūpache asked first, before listening to the teachings, that we engender the thought of bodhicitta, and that is that we will practice listening, reflecting, and meditating on the teachings in order to attain a level of Buddhahood that will rest neither in a static state of peace or nirvana, nor be stuck in samsara. And to that end, we vow to benefit all sentient beings.
Tela kang che par sab tam be chu je ram ne sab chu wang so ji tin sam bang go ben de pe man do jin dan do de jin de jin na ba ni u dan ta nam ba ren je ba chu dan chu ni nam ba ren je ba te ji na ba ni te kwa chen bi ji la ma te sam chu de nga hi yong su tra pa nang ni
So what Rinpoche will explain this afternoon is one of the five texts of Maitreya, distinguishing the middle from extremes, which we looked at last time. It was composed by the 10th level Bodhisattva, the protector Maitreya, and it's one of the five texts of Maitreya. And those five texts include what are called the two ornaments. So that is the Abhisamaya Alankara and the Sutra Alankara. And so you could translate those as like the ornament of the scriptures and the ornament of true realization. And then there are the two distinguishings, the two texts that have distinguishing within the title. And that in Sanskrit is the Dharma Dharmata Vibhanga and the Madhyanta Vibhanga, or distinguishing phenomena from their Dharmata, or their true nature, and distinguishing the middle from extremes, which is what we're looking at now. So those are two pairs, which make four. And then the fifth one is called the changeless nature, the Ju Lama, the Ratnagotra Vibhanga. So amongst those five, we're looking at distinguishing the middle from extremes, where there is a very clear explanation of the defining characteristics of the three natures, the imaginary, the dependent, and the perfectly existent. So the root then is on these printouts that you got before. It's on page 1, and it's the third root verse. The outline says, explaining the defining attributes of the three natures. So we'll be looking into what these three natures actually are, what it is that constitutes the three natures. And the root text says, and these root texts, by the way, are always very elliptical and cryptic. They're more like mnemonic devices to help you remember explanations of things you've got. So if it's not clear from the root verse, don't worry. The root verse says, in relation to these three natures, phenomena and person and perceived and perceiver and existing and not existing, when a mind involved in exaggeration or denial does not arise, these are the defining attributes of the actual nature.
Rangin Zena Condebre Tanyi Tando Yami Chi Corpande Batawa Manjoma Kanye Bate Kundajite Konanyi.
So, to give a brief explanation then based on this root verse, the first pair phenomena in person here refer to the imaginary nature. So what are the defining attributes of the imaginary nature? Well, if one would know the inherent characteristics without any mistake of any kind of phenomena, then they are free of what's called superimposition and free of denial. Now these are pairs that come up a lot. Superimposition is also sometimes translated as over-exaggeration, as putting something there that doesn't exist. So you've gone too far, basically. Then the other is called, and the Tibetan means to stick feathers on something, literally. So you've stuck existence onto something where it doesn't belong. And then denial, which is the other half of the pair, is sometimes called underestimation, sometimes derogation, kind of a technical term. And it means that you say something doesn't exist that actually has some kind of existence. So in this case, you haven't gone far enough. So in relation to the imaginary nature, how is it that one falls either into superimposition or into denial? So superimposition in relation to the imaginary nature means that you think that phenomena and person, these two, we saw them in the last talk, the two selves, exist substantially, that they have some kind of material existence, that they're composed of atoms that are really there and you can touch and feel them and so forth. So that's superimposition. Then the other mistake that one can fall into is to say that this imaginary existence, this imaginary nature, has no conventional existence. So conventionally, it doesn't exist at all. That then is denial, because it does have some kind of conventional existence. So those are the two extremes to be avoided when one is seeking to define the imaginary nature.
Kundip Chittava Nyi Mujongvate Tini Yevang Te Kona Nyi.
Then the second pair, perceived and perceiver, in the root text refers to the dependent nature. So in relationship to perceived and perceiver, sometimes you can say subject and object if that's easier, or that which apprehends and what's apprehended. In relationship to those two, then, there is neither superimposition or exaggeration, nor is there denial. Those two extremes, again, are avoided.
Zongzhen nang zhamde, nyom de meba yebsena te tin de meba tin de meba hina dona te me desana tene korban de bare.
So how is then this superimposition and denial in relation to the dependent nature? To take superimposition first, superimposition then says that perceived and perceiver exist substantially or materially, and that they are separate one from the other. They're differentiated as two complete separate objects. And since actually they are not separate, they are not differentiated one from the other ultimately, then this is called superimposition. One saying that this separateness and this materiality exist when it really doesn't. Then, if one looks at denial in relationship to the dependent nature, since perceived and perceiver exist as mere appearance, they have a certain kind of existence that's called mere appearance. So if one says that this mere appearance of perceived and perceiver does not exist at all, that it's totally non-existent, never was, and has never been experienced, then that is falling into denial. One denies something that does exist because it has this mere appearance.
Pena ngatsa malala jana, malanji kapso, zungze ninange, trupa hyarva kapso, zungze tade toam, zungze ni la, denbari kembesena, malango maiki pa kapso, zungze la, rota gyare. Karre. Malamdo Zungze ni sanana yangane Zungze ni mebesena Zungze tade to Hembati Tene dota pare Tene malamje namate Tene mebare sana Zungze je nama kharki dande Tene mebare Samba dao zona Tene te kundep jitavare karre se na zungze nang zan yaba de de mi se na yang korpa te panda ko chagire tambo malan jare wa.
So if one transposes this situation into a dream, and within the dream there is the dualistic appearance of perceived and perceiver, this kind of confusion arises. And then if one takes the perceived and the perceiver to be separate entities, if one takes them as two different things and clings to them as being truly established or truly existent in this separate way, that is superimposition, because actually they are not truly separate in that way. What it means is that one hasn't really recognized the nature of the dream. Actually, this clinging on to perceived and perceiver as separate entities then is considered superimposition or exaggeration. Then the denial, the second aspect, as these perceived and perceiver arise within the dream, one says that they do not exist at all, that there's absolutely nothing there. And that is a denial because they do have a kind of mere appearance. They do have existence as mere appearance.
Malan mo hina tene zungzen tade de dembar khemba yo mar ina nang tan te yere nang zang ji ye bese na tene malang je na wa te la drone do ba ta kondep zo ga ma re ti se na malang ngo chi na tene yin wang ge te kon na ni xi ban da wa re de yang ngo chi to la par pa ga malang ga za par pe tong ba ni ma to ba ga za par pe malang ngo chi na o malang re sa na na wa te Deba Mare Sangre, Nama Lakhing Mare Mato, same thing over the Taki Mare. Nanjur, same thing, Nelo, Monsum to Tope. Then Nanjur Pata, Nanjur me Melang Moshibaina, Melang Moshibata Lamsang, Zungzini Yamare, Zungzini, maybe Senna, Ta Melang Moshib and Namdogong over the Taki Gre. This is the Parpa Gango Shibadang Pakpadang Pame Ngo Shizola Chibayin.
Ngo
Shizola Chibayin.
When we recognize that we are dreaming, when the dream state is recognized for what it is, then we do not cling to perceived and perceiver as something separate. And we know that perceived and perceiver are merely appearances, that they're mere appearances. And knowing like that is understanding the actual nature of the dependent nature. Or you could also say, like, no, it's that kind of understanding is knowing the dependent nature for what it is, how it really is. Then, if one, however, is an ordinary individual, someone who's not realized emptiness, that individual will cling to what appears in the dream as something truly established. And this person does not really know how to analyze, how to look for the true nature of the mind. However, yogis and yoginis, both, or bodhisattvas and bodhisattvas, I guess you say, the male and female, both, they are able to recognize the dream. And therefore, they don't take this perceived and perceiver as separate or substantial. And they know how to look into the essential nature of concepts.
Then pen dorje te pe lola nanjor pata nanjor me malam ho chino tene malam to turjur se pata malam to lamanjar wata malam de khangha de ro la so ba tu go yore ti तब कब से तने येवंग ला येवंग ला वंग जोर बंदा हो येवंग ते येवंग में बा रावंग तो जोर बंदा हो जाएगा बो
बंदा Within the Vajrayana, yogis and yoginis learn how to recognize the dream states, how to work with dream states. And so when one is able to do that, one is able then to change, to transform these delusive appearances. One is able to meet with one's lama, with one's teacher within the dreams. And one is able to turn the dream world into a pure land, into a Buddha field. So when one has reached this state, then that means that one has mastered the dependent nature. And Rinpoche sort of made a wordplay here. He said one is no longer dependent. One has, in understanding dependency, one has become independent.
Danda ta malam de pei teni kye pare. Danda nyemi teni kye na ngato chetan So, the Chevy Zunzin, you let them bury him, do tagayere. Copatavia, the new re. Manga don't do so, you recondemn it as a way. Chinese and the Zunzing is a nang day to conduct it as a tumor. Zunzing the means I'm a young. Many nang you back up to ten and conduct it as a tumor. Don't know, Mazo. Ah, then don't have a damn bato yon back up so Zunzing nang za yonaya. Tell a him by my bar. Tan Zunzing and Namdo yonaya. Namdo te kam gupa, namdo te kam gupa, namdo la garduk zo mugupa, chayum bakapso, tening asu yemang and namdo te yemang mare tene rawang top number. Yang Marve.
Wrong.
Yemang la rawang yo.
So that's been a discussion of the dependent nature in the context of the dream. If one turns to the daytime situation, and one is an ordinary person or individual, then usually what one is engaged in is superimposition. Most of us take these appearances to be truly existent. There are very few people that get involved in denying the reality of perceived and perceiver, because they're continually appearing in front of us in our daytime world. It's our normal mode of occluded perception. So because of that, it's unusual that the denial in relation to perceived and perceiver arises in the daytime. Most of us are taking everything to be existent around us. However, if one realizes ultimate reality or ultimate truth, then one sees perceived and perceiver as mere appearances. One isn't attached to them, one doesn't cling to them. And even though there is the concept of perceived and perceiver, those concepts may arise, but one has no need to stop them, to arrest them or block them, nor does one try to establish them, to make them firm in some way. One does neither of those two things. One merely lets them be as mere appearance. So if one then is able to do this, then one has become a master of the dependent nature, and one has, through dependency, has become independent.
Then yondrup kanga rangin kina, yondrup ja rangin te manarva yapu kina, ta yondrup la dhondo contemplate okare. Yondrup la drone doba de carre. Chetan dikabs a tie yendong the janikina. Yondrup Zungzi nimi ji hiam, tudaji hire. Tudaji hitela Zungzi ni yabar. Hina, zena, drone dobare. Caresena Zungzi ni dong yi hiam, tudaji hila Zungzi ni yomare, Zungzi yomare. Zungzi yabar hina, drone dobare. That to Raji Hite Zumzi Nidong to Raji Hite Yondrup de te meparishena Tony Jang mepaton jang the Zensona, then a corban devare. Kainsena Yondrup de to Raji Yehi Zumzi Nidong Yehi than to Raji Yehi de ton jang my imbecena. मने तोंजंग मई बसे ना तोंजंग रे साने ही ना तेने योंडो लो कुपता भरे कुपता में जों काये रे जंजे निमी जी के हम टुटा जी ये दे जे हम ऐप तोंजंग रे साम ना तेने सांचुक ड्रपे ये कौन दे जे ये रंगे या मरे को तं ये की जी दिन चार तो कुमार दी से ना कुपता पे चों रे कुर्बान दे पा कुंडे
कुदब किजी योंगी मारे
मैं मन कोल न्यांग
याने
कुदाई ये ही जी यंत्र चार तो मारे
वसो
रबा
तो ने ने कोवा दांग याने ने दे पगी
दे दे जाय क्या रा
वसो
कुदाई ये ही जी यंत्र दे योंडो लिखार को दो तो डाले तो ने कुदाई ये ही जी यंत्र दे तोंजंग लिखार मतलब से ना तोंजंग तो रे सामना कुर्बान दे पा रे
वसो
ती से ना तोंजंग यंग मारे ता योंड्रोप जो रंगीन ते यापो चेक यापो मनोरपा यंग दापा Nondor lende yapar ki na, tene yondor la dondo dan kondep le tor tabar.
Then in the root verse, the third pair, existing and non-existing, refers to the third nature, the perfectly existent nature. And if how is it that one understands the perfectly existent nature unmistakably, or how does one understand it well? And if one explains this perfectly existent nature from the point of view of the Shentong school, then this perfectly existent nature can be called the Jnana, or the primordial wisdom, where there is not the duality of perceived and perceiver, or one could call it the Jnana, or primordial wisdom, that is free of complexity or free of mental fabrications. So when one gets involved then in the first mistaken assumption of superimposition, one, in relation to this perfectly existent nature, one clings to the existence of perceived and perceiver. However, since we've seen that this jnana is non-dual, there is no dualistic perception there of perceived and perceiver, then there is no perceived and perceiver within it. So one has posited something there that doesn't really exist within this type of wisdom. So that then is superimposition. Denial, the second type of wrong assumption, says that this kind of jnana, where there's no dualistic perception, say non-dual jnana or jnana free of complexity, denial says that this doesn't exist. It absolutely negates the existence of this kind of wisdom. And it sees it as being mere voidness, something of just a non-existence, saying that there is absolutely nothing there at all. So that's the denial, because actually there is something there. There is this wisdom there, and one's saying that that then is a mere void. So the perfectly existent nature then is this non-dual jnana, this jnana free of complexity. It's not a mere emptiness. And so if one asserts this, one has fallen into this mistaken assumption. And the problem with that, with the denial, is that without this wisdom, there's no basis for establishing or for the existence of enlightenment. Because it's this wisdom, it's on the basis of this wisdom that one comes to enlightenment. So if one denies the existence of this wisdom, you're going to have a hard time getting there. And also, the other thing that does not arise is that this wisdom is the basis for the different kayas, the three or the four kayas, and also for all the various qualities that appear with enlightenment. So you're losing a lot when you deny the existence of this type of jnana. So in sum, you can say then that the perfectly, what is then the inherent, what are the inherent characteristics of this perfectly existent nature? If one were to understand them well and unmistakably, then there is neither superimposition nor is there denial.
They kept the Mavanabuchi, Derwan de Kunta Yaman Yundu, some day, he turned the same day, Derwa Pampundong. Pambo sikide pambo dracha po.
Pambo.
Pambo yang sikido dracha po yang sikido. Semtan je lo sikhe na yang dewa. Yin dong lo sikhe na yang dewa chido.
Tira tere pambo.
Pambo sikide tela pambo sikide. Chawa me de. Dise na.
Chawa.
Tene yong rob ye khi le ja na yin dong lo rabo yang de.
So within Nipam Rinpoche's commentary, that where one finds this explanation of the three nature theory, it is a most excellent, subtle, detailed explanation of the three nature theory. And it becomes, one can kind of move it squarely into the world of the Shentong view if one understands this perfectly existent nature as Jnana, or as this non-dual of primordial wisdom.
Then, Taban Tato Yendong and the Veloso, the name Simsanjin Sinji Somjin Joksor Tang, Yendong and Joksola, Cheba says of Goyere, the name Travayere, Samsung Sopere.
The way that the ultimate views or positions are posited within traditions are different. So what is considered of the ultimate, for example, for a Rongtong tradition will be posited in a different way in the Shentong tradition. That's why it's sort of important you know which tradition you're moving within. In the Rongtong school, which Rinpoche here equates with the Prasangika view, they see no difference between the Yogacara or the mind-only view and the view of the Shentong school. So it's real simple. You just have to learn one view of the three natures because they conflate the two together. Whereas when you come to the Shentong view, they make a distinction between the Yogacara view of the three natures and their own view of the three natures. So you have to learn two views of the three nature theory.
In relation person and perceived and perceiver and existing and not existing. When a mind involved in exaggeration or denial does not arise, these are the defining attributes of the actual nature. In relation to these three natures, phenomenon and person, and perceived and perceiver, and existing and not existing, when a mind involved in exaggeration or denial does not arise, those are the defining attributes of the actual nature. Do you have any questions?
The position of denial.
Kasangi Sungana. Kuntak Singh Wundup Sungi Sungare. Tini Katila Kuntak Gitseni. The woman, the number Yomare. Dimaze. Kundok to young Yomare. Nika Yomare. And a D chord, chord up guitar than under the cafe. And down Kunz of Nika Mepa. Then a chord up guitar than Davidus.
Zika so raising over tongues or jugoni here over it.
No.
Reba?
No.
Dante cup so good chutan kanza, la jagando, chutan kanza de. This is your mother. In a young tiny door, nuns on the air. They come to shoot on Gazelle Jacket.
No,
did it? Catan, they don't sort you on the separate.
No.
Dandan de Quintati, get on shoot on Gazelle Jacket.
No.
Shoot on Gaza, then but drop by your mother. This is your mother.
No.
In a young tiny door, nuns on the air.
The previous explanation that was given about the imaginary nature was focused on the way that it is empty. So this sometimes it's a bit difficult because you'll be approaching these three natures from many different avenues. So looking at it from one avenue of approach, it seems to conflict with another, but actually that one avenue of approach is merely sort of showing you one perspective. So the perspective that was being given during the last talk was explaining how it is empty of any sort of essence. Whereas today, when the imaginary nature was being explained, it was shown as being free of the superimposition that takes it to exist truly or some kind of a material, and it's free of the denial that would say it doesn't even exist conventionally.
Mm-hmm. Reba, ini yang yesor te namdo ke takwa ini besar na namdo terus mau nang sang ya bara.
So yes, during the last talk, it was said that the imaginary nature does not exist on an ultimate level, nor does it exist on a conventional level, and that was talking about its mode or its ways, its manner of being empty. Here, what we're dealing with is sort of its way of existing. How is it that it exists? And since the imaginary nature is something that's imputed by concepts, for the deluded world of the concept, then it does have a certain kind of conventional existence.
Pen me tripe me te tonta bar me tani to ya demba tripa me na ya nam do tripa ngola nang za ji yare te me na me tripa tuna ki ga mare nam do tripa ngol nang za ji u go do te nda wo
the tripa ngol me na tene me kan do hako ga
tene me tene tripa yong ga mare ba mana de me tripa tuna ji mo ka me te tonta bar me the team, my papa, Mazet, Tanya, Tayam, me the day, your mare, Tombare. In a young, me took one trip and numb, don't trip and wola, nang that you heard. That the ring you heard at the end of it.
So, to look again at how the imaginary nature has a certain kind of existence, not an, how it does not exist, but how it has a certain kind of existence. In a dream, if one dreams that one that there is a fire that is hot and able to burn, that fire, that dream fire, has no atom that actually exists. So, from an ultimate point of view, the dream fire doesn't exist, but also conventionally, it has no existence. There is not one atom of fire within that dream fire. However, from the confused or deluded perspective of concepts or the conceptualizing mind, there is this fire that burns. And however, it exists as mere appearance to this conceptualizing mind.
Then they got so good at the tanda, Chutan Kanza, there's a dropper. Chutan Kanza, there's a dropper in Zimbabwe, then but dropper tap at the Quintali Yagando, they Chutan Kanza, then but dropper your mother, there's your mother in a young Tanyi to Chutan Kanza. Nang zang ji hu gu re. Tanyi du chu dang ka za nang zang mi no. Tini yang tanyi du jeba nga za de le jim de ya tu gu ma re. Ti se na tanyi du gu gu yu re. Chu dang ka za tanyi du gu gu yu re.
The section of the text we looked at today, when it spoke of defining the imaginary nature, it said that in relation to phenomena and a person, the imaginary nature takes them, that there is this superimposition that takes these two things to be truly existent or to exist as some kind of material. However, we know from an ultimate point of view that this phenomena and this individual are not truly established, that they do not exist materially or substantially. However, on a conventional level, for mere conventionality, or you could say in a level of apparent reality, phenomena and the individual or the person exist in a conventional way. They have a mere appearance. They merely appear. And why do we need this? Why must we say this? Because if there were not this mere appearance on a conventional level, then you could not posit, for example, karma, cause and effect, past and future lives, and so forth. There has to be something as on a relative apparent level there.
Tene kanza gda demba tromna tene dame meva chagre kanza gda te gundare ine ya tene kanza te jeva ngapsa de lende jitin de thanyi do kunzup de thanyi do tene kanza nang zan je kanza je thanyi do ke lingo
All the different philosophical schools connected with Buddhism assert that there is no entity that exists as a person. There is no self-existent self or person. They all would agree with this. They would all say, yes, that's true. If one then said that they were that this person or individual were truly existent, then you'd be falling into a non-Buddhist world. So this person then needs to be posited. There has to be some sort of a self there so that one can talk about past and future lives, that one can talk about karma, one can talk about cause and effect. So this mere appearance is necessary in order to be able to have these very essential Buddhist concepts, to kind of have the whole system working together. The Rongtong school of the Madhyamaka, when they speak of the entity that is a phenomena or the entity that is a person, the self of phenomena or the self of person, they say that these do not exist on an ultimate level, and that on a relative level they exist as like a dream, that they are the mere coming together of various causes and conditions. So, and that this then resembles a dream or an illusion. So this is quite easy to understand. When one comes to the Zhentong school and the Yogacara school, one needs to be able to distinguish between the two in when they speak of the three nature theory. And in making these distinctions, the discussion becomes very, very subtle.
Yeah. You said that if you become a master of the dependent nature, then you become independent. And I wonder if that's really possible as long as you live in this human body on this earth, in light of the last discussion.
Zhenwang Sumbekap, and a Zhenwang La Wang Juna, and a Rang Wang Tokiris. Sumbere. Then it also Lu Dina, Zupu Dina La Dena, Depe Kap. Then a Rangwang top zero vala.
ငါတို့လည်းရင်းတော့ငါတော့ရင်းတဲ့ဂျာနာငါတို့လည်းတန်တာဒေါ်တတော်ပါဒေါ်တရားခိုင်ဒေါ်တာထရက်ဒေါ်တာရပါတာမစံပရင်ရင်းတော့ကြရဲဤနေရင်တဲ့မစံပရင်ရင်းတော့ဒေါ်တတော်ပါရဲတရားတန်ပါတော်ပါတော်ရဲဒါနေသောငမလက်တဲမာရဲနေသောငမလာတနေ့မလမ်းရင်းတော့ငါတို့လည်း နာသောလေခါတာထာတာဒုတိယဝနယံနေသောလေခါတာလင်တဲ့ပါဒုတိယလင်တဲ့ပါနာတော့ရဲမဲ့ပါနာရင်တုံးပါတုံးရင်နာဝငိုတုံးပါရင်ပါလားတုံးရင်တနာဝနာတော့ညစ်တော့တော့ကြရဲမလမ်းကြလို့တော့ကြရဲမလမ်းကြလို့တဲ့တဲလယံခါရပါထာရပါနာဝမဇွနထာသင်ကြရဲဤနယံခါထာလင်တဲ့ပါဒုတိယလင်တဲ့ပါရဲမလမ်းကြလို့ တဲ့တော်ဝကြည့်ရပါတယ်တဲ့တော်ဝကြည့်ရုံးနဲ့ယံနာတော့ယင်းမိနေယံနာတော့ယင်းမိတဲ့ဒင်ပါရိကေပနမ်တော့ကဒစ်ရယ်နာသူလူနာတော့ယင်းမိလာမတော့မကြည့်စင်ကြတဲ့ဒစ်ရယ်ခရရစနာဒင်ပါရိကေပနမ်တော့ကဒစ်ရယ်တဏမ်တော့ကဒစ်စီတမီနာတနေ့လူကြရန်ရင်ခေါ်နာတော့ယင်းမိဘစနာနာတော့ယင်းမိကြည့်လူတဲ့
ตานาดงเยมิเจลูเจดิบดิบซีเดตรนานาดงเยมิเรตะนี่ลูเนนจอร์ทุกเรเนนจอร์ทุกกับซอตะนี่ตาเยมังมัยบารามังจอร์ทุกเรรามังเยบะจาอือฮึอีฟวันแอนเซอร์เซียนตะนี่ดอร์เจติกเปลอกซอตะตาวะตะเดนะตะนี่ยาบะจาเร
Dorje
Tekpe Lata Chinko Landrena Tene Tene Mane Gema Mayimba Ramang Ramang Yepada Vuchyaka Yere
So if one explains this from a Shentong point of view this body that we have it seems to us to be made up of various atoms atoms of flesh and bones and blood and that it has the very character of something that's not very pure so and we take this then to be truly existent to be actually something that's really there but this is not its true mode of being this is not the true body so to speak If we look at the dream context again and think of our body as belonging to this dream context, then it has a way of appearing, and its way of appearing is as of being made up of flesh and bones and blood. But its true mode of being, as opposed to the mode of appearing, its mode of being, its true nature, its and all those words, is beyond flesh and bones and blood. Its true mode of being is appearance and emptiness inseparable. Although it appears, it's empty, and although it's empty, it appears. It is the gathering or the coming together of emptiness and appearance. So within a dream, one can dream that this that a body is cut and blood will come out. Say you get a wound or something and blood does come out. So one has this thought. However, the body that appears within the dream is beyond transcends being composed of atoms. It's not in any way composed of solid, substantial atoms. So what happens is that this actual mode of being of our body that is appearance and emptiness inseparable gets covered over by concepts that cling at it, that grasp onto it as something truly existent. And this grasping by concepts is what occludes, which covers over or clouds our seeing of the true nature of the body. So if we get rid of these obscurations, these veils that we put over our way of seeing, then we will come to know the body that is appearance and emptiness inseparable, that because that is the actual or true nature of the body. And that is called then of attaining the transformation of the body. And once one's attained this or accomplished this transformation or realized it, then one is no longer dependent, but one has become independent. In the Vajrayana event, if one moves to the Vajrayana, if one combines then with this the deities and their mandalas, that is, this realization of our own body as the inseparability of appearance and emptiness, if one then understands that the deities and the mandalas are also the appearance and emptiness inseparable, then also one attains independence.
Do namna ten dikhe na tene nenjur yo bare chuni namji le nenjur khe bare nenjur cho khe bare nenjur cho I kapso tambo mo nenjur re semje nelo chuni ya wa sare semje nelo chuni te chuni ya chuyen te ninang deb deb kapso nenjur ma to bare ninang thurpa se ba kapso chuyen ngon jo ba kapso Then in nature to worry, then over nature. Then it's the nature the cups of Luda. Luke and this in name jugare, said no jinjik thing, candace in name jugare, now candace in name jugare here. Take here to Tanda, than that Luda, said no jinjik thing, dot the madroba. Dutin the madroba jumps in jet in nature drop to worry. Luda, no jinjik thing, meaning also Tanda now again the jays to drop the end of you know. Dutin Tempa drop the nature drop to Gumare. Malam Tavi in Besena, then the nature drop to Gumare.
If one looks at this topic of transformation from the point of view or based on the sutras that deal with the Buddha nature or the Tathagatagarbha, those that assert its existence and discuss it. One finds extensive discussions then about transformation. And one of these texts is another one of the five texts of Maitreya, the Dharmata Vibhanga, distinguishing phenomena from their Dharmata or true nature. And within this text, it speaks about 10 different kinds of transformations or changes of state. One of them is called the transformation of the essence or essential nature. And there it speaks about the true nature of the mind as being dharmata or luminosity, clear luminosity. And this dharmata, or another synonym is dharmadhatu, is covered over or obscured by dualistic appearances. And when transformation occurs, these dualistic delusions are dissolved. Another kind of transformation is the transformation of material or substance. And that deals with the body and the exterior world, our environment. And this body then, and the world around us, when one comes to realize that it's not, does not exist as atoms, that realization allows the transformation to happen. One no longer clings to appearances as existent, as truthful, literally. And the transformation can happen. It's this very clinging to things as truly existence that prevents this transformation from occurring. And so once the transformation happens, one sees things as within a dream. One sees one's body as a dream body, or one's environment, one's surroundings as dreamlike. So then that is the explanation of the three natures for today, and there are many others to come. So we'll chant it one more time, the root
first.
In relation to these three natures, phenomena and person and perceived and perceiver, and existing and not existing, when a mind involved in exaggeration or denial does not arise, those are the defined attributes of the actual nature.
Yeva de Tio Kusanami Shi Jarve Kozon Doje.